From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Minister of Foreign Affairs mentions three important reasons of Indo-Pacific for Indonesia. Effective opposition camp needed for Indonesia's next government. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Donald Pani. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi emphasized that there are three important reasons of ASEAN outlook on the Indo-Pacific for Indonesia. The three reasons were revealed by Director General of Asia-Pacific and Africa of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Destra Percaya, when reading a speech of Foreign Affairs Minister in the International Law Development Conference in Asia in Jakarta on Tuesday. Firstly, ASEAN has an interest to develop economic architecture and security, so external dynamic will keep carrying peace, security, stability, and prosperity for ASEAN people. Secondly, ASEAN consistently needs to show collective leadership in forming vision of closer cooperation in Indo-Pacific region. Thirdly, ASEAN also needs to continue becoming an honest broker in a strategic environment. Yusuf Kalla affirmed that despite not being entitled to participate in the upcoming cabinet lineup finalization, he was keen that an effective opposition camp exercise checks and balance in the Joko Widodo Ma'ruf Amin administration. Outgoing Vice President Kalla told journalists after observing the construction process of the International Islamic University of Indonesia in Depok, Central Java on Tuesday that he was not entitled to determine members of the new cabinet lineup since finalizing it was Jokowi's prerogative right. He also admitted that owing to his absence in the political process of this cabinet lineup issue, he had no knowledge of the structure of coalition parties. Yusuf Kalla desisted from commenting on the coalition issue regarding the recent meetings of incumbent President Jokowi with the leaders of Great Indonesia Movement Party Prabowo Subianto and Democratic Party Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. The governments of Indonesia and the Netherlands agreed to increase development of home decoration product expo from Indonesia to European market by facilitating businessmen of small medium businesses. The cooperation was initiated by the signing of a memorandum of understanding between Director General of National Export Development, Ministry of Trade, Dodi Edward, and Managing Director Center for the Promotion of Imports from Developing Countries of the Netherlands, Hans of Dijin. Dodi said that the cooperation aims to strengthen Indonesian exporter capacity in home decoration product sector. The MOU is a follow-up from letter of intent which has been previously signed in Den Haag, the Netherlands, on July 23, 2019. APEC member economies launched the APEC Women in STEM Principles and Action, a set of recommended principles and actions to encourage women's participation in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, commonly termed as STEM. The STEM principles and actions were prepared and endorsed by the APEC Policy Partnership for Science, Technology, and Innovation, according to a written statement received in Jakarta on Wednesday. The APEC Policy Partnership invited the private sector, academicians, and civil society institutions within the APEC region to voluntarily adopt the principles and actions to support the advancement of women and girls in STEM fields. Many obstacles hinder women's abilities to partake as innovators in the knowledge economy and compete on a global scale. Although APEC economies are leaders of innovation and economic growth, more contribution from women can expedite progress. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia, Yusuf Donovan, visited General Chairman of Muhammadiyah Islamic Organization Central Board Haidar Nasir and his staff in Jakarta on Tuesday. In his visit, Ambassador Yusuf Donovan discussed various issues, among others cooperation between U.S. and Muhammadiyah, successful partnership among the two parties, various international issues which currently occurred, and also discussed the next agenda between the U.S. and Muhammadiyah.
We discussed a number of different issues, including cooperation that the U.S. Embassy has with Muhammadiyah in the field of health and in education. We also spoke about our successful partnerships, such as media literacy workshops and anti-corruption, and as well as public health programs. We also discussed a number of international issues, and I encouraged Muhammadiyah to continue to speak out against the repression of the Uyghur minority in China. And we agreed to meet again and to work closely together on all of these issues.
Meanwhile, General Secretary of Muhammadiyah Abdul Mufti said that the meeting conducted smoothly and transparently. Abdul Mufti also said that Ambassador Donovan expressed his appreciation on the involvement of Muhammadiyah in Indonesia Humanitarian Alliance for Myanmar and Indonesia in ASEAN to handling international issues such as Rohingya, Yemen, and Xinjiang. The Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry held the first World Indonesianese Congress in Yogyakarta on October 14 to 16, in which the attendees comprised some 400 Indonesians from 43 nations. Theme: Building a Better Future of Indonesia Through a Tolerant, Vibrant, and Creative Society. The Congress was officially opened by Deputy Foreign First Minister Abdul Rahman Muhammad Fakhir on Monday. The Congress was attended by Indonesians coming from the United States, Australia, Gambia, Germany, Myanmar, Russia, China, Timor-Leste, and Jordan, among others. In his opening remark, Fakhir affirmed that Indonesians can contribute to strengthening Indonesia's identity as a multicultural nation, boosting Indonesian human capital, and aiding in transforming Indonesia's economy. The discussions during the three-day meetings focused on four topics: democracy promotion, promotion of harmonious community, creativity in the Revolution 4.0 era, and Indonesian cultural promotion amid globalization. Agricultural Quarantine Agency of Agriculture Ministry released the first export of 20 tons Robusta coffee Amsterdam to Australia. This Robusta coffee, which is produced by farmers in Malang Regency, has been demanded by 42 Asian and European countries. Head of Agricultural Quarantine Agency Ali Jamil in Malang on Tuesday said that in accordance with the instruction of Agriculture Minister in encouraging export of agriculture product, the Agriculture Ministry through the Quarantine Agency has initiated Gemilang Agro Program. The program is conducted by doing innovation services like electronic certificate e-cert. In addition to accelerate process at the place of expenditure, the service also become guarantee of product acceptance in destination country. Well, listener, that's the news. Here is today's commentary on Turkey makes the crisis in Syria more complicated. I'm Dalat Pani. The people of Syria continue to suffer for uncertain time. The conflicts in the country, which began from internal disputes, have become more conflated by involving other countries. The deployment of Turkish troops, which Ankara claim as to storm Kurdish troops, has made the people of Syria more miserable. Hundreds of thousands of Syrian people in North Syria and the regions bordering Turkey took refuge in a bid to save themselves. Turkish attack shattered the Kurds and threatened the peace of local people. Turkey's military operation, as commanded by President Erdogan, has affirmed the support of the Russian government for Syria. The attack of Turkey on the Kurdish people in Syria has changed Syrian politics. For the first time since 2012, the Syrian government made a deal with the Kurds. Kurds were previously supported by the United States of America. Turkey's attack on the Kurds region was launched after the United States left the region since Turkish government cooperates with the militants that the Syrian government does not support. The Syrian government will deploy its troops to the regions controlled by the Kurds in a bid to face Turkish troops. The conflict in Syria still remains unsolved. The deployment of the Turkish troops to storm the Kurdish troops in the border areas of Turkey and Syria has made the Syrian people more inflicted. The effort to end the war in Syria, which was previously known as a prosperous country, has become more complicated. That was commentary.
Listener, welcome to Today in History. We begin with information about the establishment of Sarekat Islam on October 16, 1905. Sarekat Islam or Islamic Union, or formerly known as Sarekat Dagang Islam or Islamist Trade Union, was established on 16th of October 1905 by Haji Samanhudi. Sarekat Dagang Islam was the first organization in Indonesia. Initially, the organization, which was established by Haji Samanhudin and his colleagues, was a forum of Muslim traders who were against the policy of the Dutch administration in Indonesia. At the time, the Dutch government excessively gave opportunities for foreign merchants to control the economy of Indonesian people. The name of the organization was changed to Sarekat Islam at the first Congress of the Sarekat Dagang Islam, which was held in Solo in 1906. Chokraminato expanded the coverage of the organization. Sarekat Islam focused not only on social and economic issues, but also on the struggle of the Muslim figures against the colonialism and imperialism. Next, Walt Disney was established on 16th of October 1923. The Walt Disney Company, or better known as Disney, is the largest entertainment and media company in the world. The company, which was established by Walt Disney and Roy Oliver Disney on October 16, 1923, was named Disney Brothers Cartoon Studio. Mickey Mouse is a symbol of the company. The last information is about the establishment of World Food Day on 16th of October, 1981. World Food Day is annually commemorated every 16th of October. The determination of the date is based on the establishment of the Food and Agriculture Organization on October 16, 1945. World Food Day was designated by member states of the Food and Agriculture Organization during the 20th conference held in November 1979. The delegate from Hungary as well as Minister of Agriculture and Food, Dr. Paul Romani, held a significant role at the conference as he was the person who proposed the idea of World Food Day. The commemoration of World Food Day aims to raise people's awareness about poverty and starvation. Since 1981, World Food Day has adopted various themes every year in a bid to emphasize crucial food issues that need to be taken into consideration. Listener, that was Today in History.
Seperti dulu, dengarlah sayang, aku cinta padamu. Maafkan aku membuat engkau sengsara. Ku baru sadar hanya engkau yang mampu mencintaiku dengan
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is about Palapa Ring Sky Toll Operation inaugurated. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurated the operation of Palapa Ring at the State Palace, Jakarta, on Monday, October 14. Palapa Ring project connects communication across 34 provinces of Indonesia. It also means that 440 regencies and cities in the country will be connected with fast internet network. Palapa Ring has 35,280 km undersea cable and 21,807 meter land cable. The fast internet connection development had once been stagnant for one decade since planned in 2007. Then in 2015, the government was finally determined to realize the Palapa Ring project. Indonesian Communication and Information Technology Minister finally began tender of Palapa Ring project that was divided into three packages, namely West Palapa Ring, Central Palapa Ring, and East Palapa Ring. West Palapa Ring includes Riau and Riau Islands up to Natuna. Central Palapa Ring covers Kalimantan, Sulawesi, and North Maluku up to Sangihe Talaut, while East Palapa Ring reaches Nusa Tenggara, Maluku, West Papua, and Papua. The project began running in 2016 and finished in September 2019. Investment of Palapa Ring development fully came from telecommunication operators joined in the consortium. There was no fund coming from the state budget. In the project, Telkom has 40% share, while the other consortium members have 13.3% share, except for one consortium member that has 6.4% share. With 40% share, Telkom gets the biggest capacity quota for around 40 gigabits per second, or GBPS, from 85 GBPS total capacity of Palapa Ring. In his remark during Palapa Ring inauguration, President Joko Widodo reminded that digital connectivity must be used to strengthen education, traffic facility, and knowledge to reach corners of the nation and to strengthen trade into national and global level. Therefore, the government was committed to finish the Palapa Ring as Kai Tol. Not only to bring the economy forward, it also advances social, culture, politics, and government. President Joko Widodo also affirmed the Finnish Palapa Ring project was expected to bring equal internet connection among the people. Therefore, besides cities, people in remote areas can also receive fast internet connection. That was My Indonesia.
Hasrat
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you Batu Hidung Beach, which is located in Tanjung Jaya, Pandeglang, Banten Province. The beach, which enters in special economic zone, is one of the beaches which is rarely visited by tourists. The beach was hit by tsunami in late 2018, but now the scenery of the beach is more beautiful than before, being hit by tsunami. Certainly, some beaches in this region are seen cleaner and the water is more transparent after being hit by tsunami. There are a lot of changes if you visit Batu Hidung Beach. Towering rocks still stand at the seashore. The exoticism of the beach is more beautiful if you take pictures. Its location, which is rightly at the west, will spoil your eyes when sunset. The beach, which is still virgin, has no any facility except parking space and villa to take rest. It is better for you to provide all your necessities when visit the beach. The name of Batu Hidung is from Sundanese language, which means black stone. The name is given by local people because there are a lot of black stones which are spread along the beach. But don't worry, you can still swim and enjoy undersea beauty of the beach. Here, there is a fisherman who catches fish traditionally by using spear. You can buy the fish and cook it by yourself. It can be a new adventure when you are on vacation there. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabularies and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Ada Yang Ketinggalan, or in English, Something Left Behind. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about Ada Yang Ketinggalan, or in English, Something Left Behind. Dinda Sistoni is in a hurry to go to Borobudur Temple.
Kamu akan ke Candi Borobudur hari ini?
Iya.
Semua perlengkapan sudah dibawa?
Sudah.
Ada yang ketinggalan tidak? Dompet? HP?
Tidak, semuanya sudah kubawa. Aku berangkat ya.
Oke, hati-hati di jalan.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Kamu akan ke Borobudur hari ini. Kamu akan ke Candi Borobudur hari ini. Which means, are you going to go to Borobudur Temple today? Semua perlengkapan sudah dibawa. Semua perlengkapan sudah dibawa. Which means, have you bring all your equipments? Sudah. Which means, yes, I have. Ada yang ketinggalan, dompet, HP? Which means, is there anything left behind? Wallet, cell phone? Tidak, semuanya sudah kubawa. Which means, no, I have bring them all. Aku berangkat ya. Which means, I'm leaving now. Hati-hati di jalan. Which means, okay, take care. In the dialogue, Tony and Dinda convey common expressions which usually used to close persons who are ready to leave somewhere. To ensure that Tony has brought all equipments, Dinda asks him, semua perlengkapan sudah dibawa? In English, have you bring all your equipments? Then to remind Tony, Dinda also asks him, ada yang ketinggalan tidak? In English, is there anything left behind? Another expression with the same meaning is jangan sampai ada yang ketinggalan, which means do not let anyone left behind. The word ketinggalan is usually used in informal conversation, while for formal conversation, it is usually used the word tertinggal. For example, dia ketinggalan kereta. Dia tertinggal kereta. Which means, he left the train. Dompet saya ketinggalan di rumah. Dompet saya tertinggal di rumah. Which means, I left my wallet at home. Then Dinda says goodbye by saying hati-hati di jalan. Which means, take care. In daily conversation, people in Indonesia often say hati-hati di jalan, then selamat jalan. The expression hati-hati di jalan shows that the speaker hopes that those who are living survive on the trip. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, Let's follow again the conversation.
Kamu akan ke Candi Borobudur hari ini?
Iya.
Semua perlengkapan sudah dibawa?
Sudah.
Ada yang ketinggalan tidak? Dompet? HP?
Tidak, semuanya sudah kubawa. Aku berangkat ya.
Oke, hati-hati di jalan.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Isi berbagai negeri ingin ku melayang jauh mengejar kuasamu terbang hingga ke tanah suci jelba.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Bye. Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a regional pop song entitled Kadal Nongak from Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. The song Kadal Nongak describes about a lizard that looks up like an arrogant man who lifts his chin. The lyrics tells about messages in order we do not become arrogant people who do not want to obey advice from others. The song Kadal Nongak also connecting with folklore, which tells about a princess from the Selaparang kingdom in Lombok Island. The arrogant princess does not hear her older sister's advice, then she gets calamity. After that, her mother entertains the princess with the song Kadal Nongak. Listener, here is the song Kadal Nongak by Suradipa. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
kesi kembang sandal, sesengat kejadi siapa. Tajaonya dek nemati, payu salah kencarian. Aduh dede, mucempa kesi kembang sandal, sesengat kejadi siapa. Jadi sahabat, jadi sahabat, jadi sahabat, jadi sahabat, jadi sahabat.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Thank you.
listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.